We're continuing the Shir and Likutei Halachos, Choshen Mishpat, Chelek Aleph, Hilchos Toyein Venitan, Halacha Hey, Paragraph Beis. We mentioned that this halacha is based on chapter 17 in Likutei Moran, which is a long, relatively long chapter, which speaks about a number of topics. One of the main topics that's spoken about over there is the fact that when the Jews are under the control of the Goyim, and the Goyim block us from performing mitzvahs, like during the holiday of Hanukkah, where they tried to prevent the Jews from being permitted to do bris milah, keeping Shabbos, Kiddush HaChodesh, then on a spiritual level, what happens is, or when the Goyim impose severe taxes, they tax the Jews in extraordinary ways, also crushing them thereby, and not allowing them to flourish beruchnius, not allowing them to flourish in doing mitzvahs and everything, that good which the Jews could have been producing, those mitzvahs, are being swallowed up by the Goyim spiritually. That's what's taking place. And what happens is, at the right time, when the right tzaddik comes along, whose words are able to go all the way, reach all the way into their domain, into the domain of the Goyim, and find their way into their books. And when the Goyim read in their books things that are contradictory to their faith, as is the case by many converts, it's brought, Rabbeinu Zal mentions this, Rabbi Nosson Zal mentions this, that they actually spoke to converts and heard from them, that many of them said that what caused them to convert is that in reading their own books of religion, they found things that were contradictory. They found things that were, and led them to a search which led them to find their way to Klal Yisrael. So Rabbeinu Zal says there that the Diburim of the Tzaddikim, when these Tzaddikim speak, their words are also, the tongue is like a pen, writing. And those words find their way into the writings of the Goyim. They see it, they discover it, and it causes them to be motivated to search, to start searching and find their way into Klal Yisrael. And Rav Nosson Zal used the word Geirim and Balei Tshuva, both. Now, Rabbeinu Zal says over there, in order for the words of the Tzaddikim to travel, to be able to really travel, you need the air to be clear. Because when there's turbulence in the air, we gave the example, when a person's outside on a stormy day, there's thunder, lightning, rain, you could be standing a few feet away from somebody and they can't hear you because of the noise in the air. But when the air is perfectly clear, then you can talk and be heard for blocks sometimes. So Rabbeinu Zal says over there that he quotes the pasuk, Hoin Yosef Reim Rabim. Wealth attracts many friends, draws many friends. A wealthy person is a magnet to attract people. And Rabbeinu Zal says over there that charity, tzedakah, one form of wealth is tzedakah, using wealth the right way. Charity makes friends. And when a person gives charity to one or two people, they clear the air. They make a fine air with those one or two people. When a person gives tzedakah to a few thousand people, they clear a lot of air. And Rabbeinu Zal says that by giving tzedakah to an oni hogun, to a real worthy cause, a real worthy poor person, or to a tzaddik, a Talmud Chacham, those kind of people are referred to as neshamois klolius. They're not one person. They're like a tzibur, a whole tzibur. The Gemara mentions this a few places in Shas, that Moshe Rabbeinu is considered like all 600,000 Jews, or a Talmud Chacham is considered like an entire tzibur. So when a person gives tzedakah to somebody like that, they create a ruach toiv, a good ruach, with they clear the air of a large area, which again is what allows the words of the Chachamim that are being spoken to travel great distances and to cross into the other side and find their way into their Sforim and bring about the return, bring about Balei Tshuva and Geirim. I'm giving it to you in summary form. Over there in Likutei Moran, Rabbeinu Zal expounds on this and gives psukim and gemaras to substantiate this in a very clear way. Now Rav Nosson Zal enters into our discussion. So that's using money in a positive way. That's using money to clear the ear, to allow words of tzaddikim to travel, etc. Vehine ze hakoifer b'momoin chaveroi. When two people are in a disagreement, one person, Reuven, says, Shimon, you owe me $1,000. And Shimon denies it. Either he denies it partially or denies it completely. Bevadai hu poigein bebechinas choin Yosef reim kanal. This is the opposite of that pasuk of wealth making many friends. Here the money is creating enmity, you know, machlokes between people. Because by the person denying his friend's money, who poigem harbe, he's causing major damage. Vuhu behepech mamish mehatikun hanizkar shom hanas alidei tzedaka, and this brings about the exact opposite effect of what Rabbi Nizal describes over there in Likut Imran is accomplished through proper charity. Shehu b'chinas choin Yosef reim rabim, that wealth draws many friends. This situation, this financial situation, is generating the opposite of that. Kimavoyer shom, because Rabbi Nizal explains over there in Likut Imran, shaydei hatzdoka hu koin eloi reim v'oyavim, that through tzdoka a person acquires friends, people that like them. Shaydei ze nimshach avir hanach v'hazach, and that generates a clear air, a good atmosphere. Alidei ribui ho'ava, through the great love that's between these people. Sherucham noichim zeem zeh. The wording in the Gemara that's used about is this, rucham noiche, that people feel a good spirit towards each other, a good air, a good atmosphere, that kind of thing. And when you have a lot of this good air, then the words that are spoken can be heard at great distances. V'nistakein hakoil, and then everything can be fixed, as Rabbi Nizal says over there, that even the good that originated from the Jewish people and became distanced, became swallowed up by the goyim, even that good can be retrieved, can be brought back and reintroduced into the Jewish nation. Whereas this person who's denying that money that belongs to somebody else, he's doing the opposite. Because not only is he not increasing the good air, the good atmosphere, which is accomplished by good friends and a lot of tzedakah, but in addition, he's denying his friend's claim, and thereby generating a state of machloikis, disagreement, disharmony between them. And therefore, there definitely is not a good atmosphere between him and the other person. Shezeo hahepech me'avir hanach v'azach hanal, which is the opposite of the good atmosphere that Rabbi Nizal defines over there. Ki hakchoshas momoin chaveroi hu pegam hamomoin. Because when a person is denying that they have in their possession money that belongs to somebody else, that's a pegam, that's a defect in money. Bechinas pegam hoin Yosef reim anal, hepech atztoka, the opposite of tztoka, shehu tikun hamomen, which is the tikun for money. Shaydei ze mar bereim, by which a person increases friendship, bechinas hoin Yosef. Shaydei ze nasi avranach. Vahamachakesh ba'amisoi hu behepech mamesh mizeh. And this person who's denying is doing the exact opposite. He's generating a negative atmosphere, which will make it that even when tzaddikim are speaking their words will not be able to reach distances that they want to try to reach. Ki ha'odom, now Rav Nosson Zal gets into clarifying this. Ki ha'odom tzorich la'asois masa umatn be'emuna. Because a Jew is supposed to see to it to conduct business in a manner that they're trustworthy, that shows faith in Hashem, and that builds faith between people. V'yiyeh diburoi benachas imabriyos. And when he speaks to other people, when he conducts business or transaction or communication with other people, the communication should be done with a pleasantness. As the Gemara speaks about this, that a Jew has to know how to talk like a mensch, to talk benachas, not no yelling, no anger, no machloikis. Because a person has to strive to be good with everybody, to have good relations with everybody. And even with people who don't need to receive charity, still, when you're doing business with them, you have to make sure to do it with friendship, with love, veligmo el chesed, and to show a charitableness, a favorable attitude, ulevater misheloi, and to be willing sometimes to say, you know what, you keep it. If there's an argument about something, and you know what, I don't want to get into it, just take it, period. To be willing to have that kind of attitude. As we find one of the great rabbis in the Gemara once prided himself, Sheherich Yomim, where his students asked him, Rabbi, on what merit were you zeicha to live an extra long life? And he said, Al shahoyo vatron b'mamoinoi, because he had this attitude of vatron. Vatron means willing to splurge a little. I go into a store, they tell me this item costs $3.95, I give them $4. Here's your change, keep the change. I don't need, you know. That attitude, an attitude of being willing, not fighting for every penny, and not going for pure, only justice, but being willing to go a little above and beyond the law even. Ki kol zeh, Bichlal tzedaka v'chesed she'osim abriyos, because all of this is included under the umbrella term charity and kindness. This is a person who's charitable, who's not just to poor people. There are some people, and it's amazing how Rav Nosson Zal is touching on this, because if you live and if you deal with people, you'll hear stories of philanthropists, people who donate hundreds of thousands of dollars and millions of dollars sometimes to charity, and yet you talk to people who do business, who conduct business with these people, and they'll say it's the worst pain in the neck, the worst suffering in the world to be in a deal with this person. He's a shark. He'll kill you for a penny. He'll try, he won't give you an inch in business. And you ask the person, why? You're such a good person. You're willing to give away millions of dollars. And for the extra $1,000 here, you're going to kill the person? You're going to make him sit? You're going to sit hours and hours on a business deal because arguing over? The guy says, no, that's business. That's charity. That's business. It's two different things. And Rav Nosson Zal is showing here that that's not the case. That in Judaism, in Torah, that's not the case. This attitude, this willingness to give, has to be applied not just to poor people who are suffering, but to anybody. Even your own business partner, even your own wife, even your own neighbor. You know, some people, when it comes to people close to them, they'll kill them. You know, they'll squeeze them for everything they can. Chas v'shalom. Shayidei zeh koine ahavo rabo im harbe b'nei adam. By a person living this way, he acquires friendship, with a lot of friendship, with a lot of people. Everybody likes such a person. The person who's always with a smile, always saying, you keep it, or you have it, that attitude. Giving. We know there's a pasuk in Tehillim where David HaMelech says, loive rosho veloy meshalem. An evil person is a person who borrows and doesn't pay back. V'tzadik choinein v'noisein. And the definition of tzadik is a person who's always giving, generous, always looking to see what I can give, not what I can take, how much I can take, but rather how much I can give. And through this attitude, the person increases this good atmosphere, this good air, not the turbulence in the machlokes. Shaydezeh nestaken kol hamavoyer shom, which leads to the rectification, the repair of all the different things that Rabbeinu Zal describes over there in Likutei Moran. Aval zeh, whereas this person who's doing business the other way, this person who's denying a loan or something like that, loy dai she'enoy mevater mishaloy. It's not bad enough that he's not willing to be generous and to give away some of what's his. Afgam hu mechachesh b'amisoy. But he crosses that line of denying that he's holding on to money that belongs to someone else. And thereby he causes machlekes, he causes an argument, disagreement with the other person. Venimshach sina beinehem, and this generates hate, negativity between them. Shehu bechinas ruach ra, which the Torah refers to as a bad atmosphere, a bad air. Kameshikosov sham, as Rabbeinu Zal writes over there, shehu hepecho avir hanach, which is the opposite of that calm, pleasant atmosphere. Pegam hahoin Yosef Reim. It's causing a defect in that accomplishment of wealth generating many friends. Here again, we see there are wealthy people who have many enemies, who have been made many enemies along the way in the manner that they conducted business. Because they wouldn't give this part, they wouldn't take that because of that attitude. Uboze poigem harbe. And through this, a person causes major spiritual damage. Because just as Rabbeinu Zal writes over there in the Kutimran about the incredible accomplishment of tzedakah, that tzedakah has the ability literally to make it possible for tzaddikim to reach out into people from other nations, to bring back to Klal Yisrael tons of good that was swallowed up over thousands of years of persecution. The Jews were persecuted in Egypt, in Rome, in Greece, all the different persecutions that the Jews went through to be able to retrieve all of that good. But by creating the good atmosphere, we allow the tzaddikim to be able to inform that good which has been conquered and is being suppressed among the other nations, la'oiroi l'tshuva, to awaken it and inspire it to do tshuva. Shaydeze nistakein kol hanizkar shum, which leads to all the different tikkunim that Rabbeinu Zal describes over there in chapter 17 in Likut Imran, the tikkun of the mizbeach and seichel, all kinds of things. Ad shezoichen l'yira v'ava, to the point where it leads to people being zoicha to proper yira and proper ahava, proper respect and love for Hashem, al yidei hisgalus hahisparus, through the revelation of the pride that Hashem takes in the Jewish people. That's on the good side. Kemoikein, conversely, ze hakoifer b'mamon chaveroi, this person who denies that they're holding on to money that belongs to somebody else, poigem bekolze, is messing all of that up. Ki marbe sinah hefechoin Yosef, he's increasing hate, the opposite of ve'ein yecholon lohidia lo ratov hakovush, and he's making it impossible to inform that good that has been conquered among the goyim that they're holding on to. Vaydeze nivgam hakoil, and through this everything gets messed up. To the point where the pride that Hashem would normally take in the Jewish people becomes spoiled. Chas v'shalom. V'alkein tzivso ha-toyro she'yishova. And it's for this reason that the Torah has commanded us that in such a case where Shimon says, I never borrowed $1,000 from you, I took $300, I never took $1,000 from you, the Torah demands that Shimon has to swear. He has to take an oath swearing that he never took more than $300. Ki hashvua benikitas chefetz. Because we know that when a Jew takes an oath in court, he's got to be holding an object at the time. The hainu sefer Torah. He holds a sefer Torah in his hand. Hainu shne noisnim biyodoi sefer Torah. We place a sefer Torah into his hands at the time. Uboze mazkirin oisoi. Hahisparus sheyesh bi Yisrael bechlal ubeprat ubeprote proteus. And by doing that, we remind this person of the pride that Hashem has in the Jewish people on a general level, the pride that Hashem has with Klal Yisrael, the pride that Hashem takes with each individual Jew, and the pride that Hashem takes in every move, every breath, every fingernail on every Jew. Ad sheyazkir es atzmoy, and this will bring the person to remind himself, shebevada yesh gambo yesh hisparus prati, that in him also there is some of this pride that Hashem takes. Me'achar sheshem Yisrael nikrolov, because he is called a Jew. Even if he's committing a sin, he's called a Jewish sinner. Ki kol ha-hisparus sheyesh bi-Yisrael bichlal u-biprat u-biprotiprotis ha-koil kolul b'sefer ha-toyra gdoisho shehi tifarteinu v'chiyuseinu. Because the entire pride that Hashem takes in the Jewish people, the pasuk Yisrael asher b'cho espoer, the Jewish nation in which I take pride, Hashem says. Rav Nosson Zal says that whole pride and all aspects of it is all included in the Sefer Torah, which is our pride and life. Ki haTorah hi hisparus shel Yisrael. The Torah is the pride of the Jewish people. Shebishvil ze nivra ha'olam, for which the world was created. When we say Hashem created the world for the sake of the Jewish people, we said bereishis bara lekim, bishvil reishis. Hashem created the world because of reishis, because of the Jews, and also because of the Torah, which is called reishis. Ki Hashem yisporach mispoer im Yisrael. Hashem's greatest pride in the Jewish people is based on the fact that we are the ones who chose to accept the Torah. And it's for that reason that Hashem created the entire world, knowing that there's going to come a time when he's going to offer the Torah to all the nations, and all of them are going to refuse it, except for the Jews. V'alkein ha-Torah mascheles mizeh. And this is why the Torah begins with this. K'may shekosev, as it says, bereishis bara Elokim. Bereishis, because of reishis, Hashem created. Vam Rabbi Seinuzal, and our rabbis tell us, bishvil Yisrael. This means because of the Jewish people who are called reishis. There's a pasuk, kodesh Yisrael Hashem, reishis tevuasoi. The Jews are sanctified to Hashem. We are his first crop. And also, ubishvil ha-Torah shenikra reishis. And also because of the Torah, which is called reishis. Reishis das, it's called. Hainu, bishvil ha-hisparus sheyikabel mi-Yisrael al yedei sheyikaimu es ha-Torah. Because of the pride and beauty that Hashem would take in the Jewish people who would accept the Torah and fulfill the Torah, bishvil ze bora es hashamayim v'soretz. That's what motivated and inspired Hashem to create heaven and earth. V'chol asher aleim, and everything that's on heaven and earth. The birds, the angels, the trees, the non-Jews, everybody. Everything was created for the pride that Hashem would take in the Torah being fulfilled by the Jewish people. Veshom bahatoiro nirsham hahisparus gam beprotius ubeproteprotius shashem yisporach mekabel mikol echad miyisrael b'chol yom v'yom. And in the Torah is inscribed in detail the pride that Hashem would get from every single individual Jew each and every single day. All of that is written into the Torah. Ki kol echad miYisrael yesh lo ois baTorah, because we know each and every single Jew has a letter in the Torah. The word Yisrael makes up the first letters of the words yesh shishim ribui oisayis laTorah. There are 600,000 letters in the Torah corresponding to the 600,000 Jewish souls. V'chol zman sheshem Yisrael nikra lo vadayin, and so long as the person is still carrying that title Jew upon him, Adayin, even if he's committed thousands of sins and he's become very distant from Hashem, and he's Adayin yeshloy achiza ba'oisay ois, the person still has a connection to that letter that represents him in the Torah. Ukeshehatzadik megale ha-hisparus ha-proti shel eze yish Yisrael, and when a tzaddik succeeds in revealing the pride, the specific pride that Hashem takes in a particular Jew, whom people look at, say, this guy's a no, he's not even a Jew. I wouldn't even call him a Jew. He doesn't act like a Jew. And the tzaddik says, that's not true. He is a Jew. He's doing things that are bad. He's doing things that are wrong. The things he's doing are bad. But he himself has a soul. He's part of the Torah. He's part of this beauty that Hashem created. So when the tzaddik does that, Azai Meir Zeho Ois Kifi HaHispar Shemotzboi, then that letter starts shining brightly based on the pride that the tzaddik was able to bring out to discover in that Jew. Ki HaHisparus Bichlal Ubifrat Ubeprote Proteus Shel Kol Yisrael HaKoil Nirsham VeKolul BaOisies HaToyra Kdoisha. Because the pride that Hashem takes in the Jewish nation as a whole, and the pride that Hashem takes in every individual Jew, and the pride that Hashem takes in every finger and every hair on his head of every Jew, is all documented and inscribed in the Torah, in the letters of the Torah, Shehem Kol Hispa'aruseinu. They are the definition, they are, the Torah is all of this pride, from A to Z. V'alkein, Noisnin Biyodoi Sefer Torah Lishova. It's for this reason that the Bezdin, the court, places a Sefer Torah into the hands of this Jew now, who's denying money that he owes or something like that. They tell him, hold this Sefer Torah. Uboze Mazkirin Oisoi HaHisparus Shel Yisrael. By holding a Sefer Torah, this person is being reminded of who we are. We are the people of the Torah. We are the ones who accepted the Torah. We are the ones who are carrying these trillions and trillions of watts of holiness and goodness. Umarin loy masheroy tzalifkoim chas v'shalom. And the person is being shown what he's trying to damage, what he's trying to harm. Kialidei hakchoshas momoin chaveroy. Because by denying money that belongs to somebody else, this person is attempting to damage all of this hisparus, the whole Torah and everything. Alkein, the person would say, but one second, even if I'm a letter, if you damage one letter in the Torah, the whole Torah is it? The answer is yes, you better believe it. Even though the Torah has hundreds of thousands of letters, if one letter is missing, or if there's one extra letter, or if one letter is broken in half, there's a little bit of ink missing within one letter, the entire Torah becomes puzzle. Chas v'shom. Ki kol zman sheshem Yisrael nikrolov, because so long as this person is still carrying that title, Jew, bevadai yesh boi hisparus protikanal, there definitely is pride that Hashem is taking in him specifically. ובוודאי כשמזכיר הנויסוי, ההספרוס, בכלל ובפרט, הידי הספר תורה, and therefore, when we remind him of that, by giving him a Sefer Torah to hold, here, hold this, and his neshama starts feeling what he's holding on to. He's holding a billion watts of light that represent the entire Jewish people, including him. בוודאי יזכיר עצמוי, היכן הוא בעולם. The person will remind himself, will realize where he is in the world, what he's doing. Ubevadai yoide al hoemes. And this will definitely bring him to admit the truth. Shelo yakoir atzmoi chas v'shalom, me ha'hisparuth shel Yisrael. So that he will not take himself out of the pride of the Jewish people, shehu kol chiyusoi, which is the entire source of his spiritual life, v'chiyus kol ha'olamos, b'fratu b'chalav b'frat, and what gives life to all the worlds on a general level and on a detail level. Ki b'shvil ze nivro ha'kol, because everything was created for this pride that Hashem would take from the Torah and the Jewish people and the bond between them, the Jewish people observing the Torah, especially when it comes to money matters. Now, to clarify this a little bit, a few stories. L'kavod Chanukah, l'kavod Rosh Chodesh, we're allowed to say a couple of stories. There's a famous story with the Ramban. The Ramban was one of the giants of Klal Yisrael, who lived about almost about 1,000 years ago. And interesting, just last night, a few hours ago, I was in Hebron by the Moras HaMachpela, and outside the Moras HaMachpela, not last night, this morning, outside Moras HaMachpela, there's a stone, there's a matzeva, where they say that it's possibly that this is where the Ramban is buried. Because he went to Hebron, he came to Eretz Israel and went to Hebron, there's a matzeva there. The Ramban had many students. One of his students left Yiddishkeit and became a super, super Russia, to the point where this student once came to the Ramban on Yom Kippur and said to him, Rebbe, I have a shaila for you. I cooked meat and milk and ate it on Yom Kippur. And then he mentioned a couple other things. He said, how many violations of kares have I committed? The Ramban looked at him and thought, and the Ramban said, 5. He said, Rebbe, you're wrong, it's 6. And he listed, you know, he went through all the 6. So the Ramban looked at him and said, why? What brought you to this? What, this was one of the Ramban's students. What brought? He said, do you want to know? I'll tell you, Rebbe. I was once at a shir that you were giving on Parshas Hazinu, one of the smallest portions in the Torah. Parshas Hazinu is 40 psukim. Usually, most parshas in the Torah are 100 psukim, 90 psukim. Parshas Hazinu is one of the shortest parshas in the Torah. And you were teaching us about the depth of Hazinu, and you made a statement that in these 40 psukim is found every single Jew. Every Jew can be found. And I heard that, and I figured that's ridiculous, that's absurd, it's impossible. There's millions of Jews, and there's only 40 sentences there. And that caused me to reject that teaching of yours, and that led me to reject everything and to get to where I am today. And I still say that it's not true, that there's no way. Show me where I am in Parshas Hazinu. This is what this student said. And his name was Avner. The Ramban looked at him and he said, okay. And the Ramban went over to a corner in the room and he started speaking to Hashem. And he begged Hashem to open his eyes to be able to see where Avner is found in Parshas Hazinu. He came back a couple of moments later and he said, got it. And this is without the help of Google and Boogle, all of these things, the Ramban did it. He went to Google's boss, he went to Hashem. He said, and he quoted him a pasuk in Hazinu, where the pasuk says, Omarti af ehem ashbisa me'enes zichram. Hashem says that there's going to come a time when people are going to go so far away from Hashem, so far away from good, that I said I will destroy them. I will erase their memory from mankind. And he said to him, if you take a look at those words, follow the third letter in each of those words, af ehem, ashbisa, me'enosh zichram, the third letter spell the word avner, aleph, beis, nun, resh. Now again, this is before Google, before computers. This student saw this in front of his eyes. He saw a tzaddik communicate with Hashem and be able to find instantly in these 40 psukim exactly where his name, and he understood if he was able to do this, then he could do it for any person. Just like Rabbeinu Zal says, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal wrote the Tikkunei Zohar on the word Bereishis. Rabbeinu Zal says, obviously you could write another Tikkunei Zohar on the word Bara, or the word Avraham, because the Torah is infinite. Every letter is infinite. So this student turned white and purple, and he said to the Ramban, what do I do now? He realized that I guess I made a mistake. The Ramban said to him, you heard what the Pasuk said. And it's written that this story is brought in the Seder Adoyrois and in other Sforim. This student went, he took a boat, he went out to sea, and he was never heard from again. He disappeared, period. So this is an example of showing how this is just in Parshas Hazinu, one where every single Jew is found in the Torah. I thought of other things I wanted to mention. I can't remember this moment. We'll continue, maybe it'll come back to me. About the letters of the Torah, how each and every one, and how every person is found in the Torah, every person has that connection, and the pride. I remember. During the time of the Baal Shem Tov, there was a wealthy person who dealt in cattle. He had thousands of cattle. And again, he made money selling the buying and selling and shipping. And again, shipping, how do you ship cattle? Along these huge barges that they would send 100 cows or 1,000 oxen, you know, to transport it to different places, different cities, different countries where they needed to buy this meat. So one time, this person, this wealthy person, shipped a large amount of cattle to a certain place, and he was waiting for a communication to hear that they received it, and no communication. And he was starting to worry because this was a very substantial amount of money to him. And he's trying to figure out, what do I do? Where? How do I find my cattle? How do I find out any information about it? So somebody said to him, why don't you go to the tzaddik? He said, the tzaddik's going to find my, he's going to know where my cattle. Of course, tzaddikim know everything. So sure enough, this tzaddik comes, this wealthy person comes to the Baal Shem Tov, and he tells him his problem. So the Baal Shem Tov says, go over to the shelf there and bring me the Zohar. Bring me the Zohar HaKodesh. So he brings him the Zohar HaKodesh. The Baal Shem Tov studies it for a few minutes. He studies and studies. And he says to him, got it. Your cattle has arrived. It arrived on this and this day. And you're going to get the communication. You're going to hear about it shortly. You're going to be told. The guy has to crack up, you know, and he says, Rebbe, my cattle is in the Zohar? Are you serious? He says, of course I'm serious. The Torah tells us that Hashem used, that the blueprint of creation was the Torah. Hashem used the Torah as a blueprint for creating the entire world and all the different worlds. So the Torah has everything in it, everything. Everything from the time of creation till now is found in the Torah. So your cattle are found in the Torah. You just have to know how to look and where to look. You don't know. You can't look. I can, no problem. The Baal Shem Tov was one of the tzaddikim who knew how to interpret the words and the letters and the crowns on the letters and everything. These tzaddikim were able to know how every single thing in creation, how every leaf on a tree is connected, what part of the Torah that leaf on the tree is connected to, where it's drawing its life from. Continuing from paragraph Gimel. V'alkein midoraisa einoi chayiv shvua kiim moida b'miktsas aval loy koifer hakoil. Rav Nosson says, based on this, we're going to be able to understand why the Gemara tells us that if a person admits to part of a transaction, if Reuven says, I lent you $1,000, and Shimon says, it's not true, you only lent me $300 or $500, in that case, the law is that Shimon has to swear, to swear that he only borrowed $300 or that he returned $700, whatever it is. He has to swear holding a Sefer Torah. That's called a Shvua Doraisa, an oath that's based on the written Torah. Whereas if he denies it completely, if he says, I don't owe you any, I never borrowed, or I paid you back in full, I don't owe you a penny, there is no Shvua Doraisa. Based on the laws of the written Torah, he's not obligated to take an oath. But the rabbis, there's a Rav Nachman who came along and added an additional requirement that even in the case where you deny completely, you do have to swear. You have to take a rabbinical oath, which has different laws to it. Because this person who's admitting partially, even if we suspect that he's lying, that he's not telling the truth, he's admitting 30%, but he's lying about 70%, this person has not cut himself off completely from the pride that Hashem has in each and every Jew, because he's still admitting partially. As the Gemara says, that when a person admits partially, we don't suspect him that he's a total liar, he's a complete liar. It's just that he's trying to postpone, he's trying to buy time for himself, Kida Omar Rabba, as the Gemara says in Bamitzia, as Rabba said, Mipnei Ma Omra Torah, why did the Torah say that a person who admits partially has to swear? Because by the fact that he's admitting partially, he shows he's not a completely bad person. He has some truth to him. So if he has some truth, why is he lying? He's lying to buy time. He's hoping he intends to give back the full amount. He doesn't have it right now. He figures by pushing off, by giving $300, which he has now, he'll push the guy off a little bit, another week, a month, until he hits the full amount, and then he'll pay him back. Val kein omra Torah, and that's why the Torah said, Yishova, we make him swear. Kedei lahazkiroi ha-hisparus, in order to remind him that he's part of a Sefer Torah, he's part of the pride that Hashem has in the Jewish nation. Shaydezeh moidal ho-emes, with the hope that that'll push him to admit the truth completely. Aval ha-koifer ba-koil, whereas a person who is in total denial, a person who says, I never borrowed anything from you, I don't owe you anything, im nachshoydoisoy shemeshaker, if we suspect that he's lying, that he does owe the money and he's denying it completely, eich yoide al yidei hashvua, how will an oath change him in any way? How will it get him to admit the truth? Al yidei shiazkiroi soy esparas, by reminding him that he's part of a Torah, the meyacha shekvar rochoik mikol haesparas. When this person has shown that he's in total denial, meyacha shekoifer bakoil, he denies completely. Because a person who is still connected partially a little bit, he's still maintaining some connection to this pride of the Jewish people, that person will not get up the brazenness, the chutzpah, to deny completely. Because the Pasuk says, even the She'eris Yisrael, even the lowest people in Klal Yisrael, will not commit evil, will not speak total falseness. Al-Kain, therefore, Midina Einoy Chayiv Shvua. Therefore, this person who's denying completely, we say, this person, a Jew, who has some connection to Torah, cannot deny completely and be lying about it. So if he's denying completely, we have to investigate further. He must be telling the truth. Either he's telling the truth that he really doesn't owe this money at all, or he's so far gone that a shvua won't help him. Avol Rav Nachman tikein shvuas hesis. However, the Gemara tells us that one of the later rabbis of the Gemara, Rav Nachman, instituted a rabbinical oath even in this case, even in the case of the person who denies completely. Gam lekoifer bakoil. Why? Ki Rav Nachman ro'o shehagolus misarech moed. Rav Nachman saw that the golus, the exile of the Jewish people, is not 70 years like it was by the first Beis HaMikdash, but it's 700 years, it's 1,000 years, it's 2,000 years. This exile that we're going through now is the darkness keeps increasing every day. As we move further and further away from the time when we had the Holy Temple, we're drifting further and further away from Hashem. V'hatoiv nichbash mo'oid mo'oid b'toich ha'sidra achra. And the good of the Jewish people, all the mitzvahs that we could have been doing and should have been doing, when Jews assimilate, when we are in Golus, and Jews are marrying non-Jews, and Jews are drifting so far away from their Yiddishkeit that they're losing interest completely, no interest at all, chas v'shalom. Al-kein hishtadel kol kach lechapes ha-hisparu sheb'Yisrael afilu b'hagruim b'yoyser. Therefore, Rav Nachman tried extra hard to search for that Jewish pride, that goodness, even in the people who are furthest, who have assimilated completely, who are so far away. Ad shero umotzo sheyochol liyos hisparus proti b'Yisrael afilu b'hakoifer b'koil. to the point where Rav Nachman discovered, he found sources to justify imposing an oath, a shvua, even on this Jew who is in total denial. That even that Jew, we have to reach out to him. We have to give him a way to come back. Because of the long length of this exile, shehatoiv nichbash moid moid, where the good of the Jewish people is being buried deeper and deeper into the ground. As time goes on, that goodness is being buried deeper and deeper. Yochol lihiyos sheyoyre hetel yatzmoi at sheyichpor bakoil. It's very possible today that Jews who 500 years ago or 1,000 years ago could never have denied, been in total denial. They might have fallen away from a couple of mitzvahs or things like that, but they could never walk away a similar completely and just reject Judaism completely. Today they can. Today it's possible. It's possible and it's normal and it's natural. The statistics are that 70% of Jews are doing this. 70% are walking away from their Judaism, from their Jewish identity, from Torah, from spirituality, from contact with Hashem. Avol be'emes. However, even though we've moved so far, we've gotten so distant, lo yotza adayin mehesparas chas hashem, they have not totally disengaged from this pride that Hashem takes in the Jewish people. V'al kein, and therefore, because Rav Nachman realized this, hitil gamolav shvua. He said that even a person who's in total denial, we're going to make him swear. We're going to impose an oath on him. Kedei sheyoide, which will push him to admit, to tell the truth. Kedei lahazkiroi ha-hisparu shaloi al yidei ha-shvua. Because by making him swear, that's going to shake him up. That's going to remind him of who he is, that he's a Jew. Shal yidei ze yoide, and that will lead him to admit. How? Rav Nosson Zal is going to explain now. Ki gam boy yesh adayin hisparus proti afal pishu koifer bakoil. Because even this Jew who is in total denial, who's denying completely, he still has, there still is pride, there still is a soul in him, there still is holiness in him, there still is a connection to Hashem in him. Ki loy bo lahakfira vahakhosho. Because the only thing that has led this person to go so far to deny completely is because the good has been squished, has been buried so deeply, it's been covered with so much mud, with so much darkness. And that's what has pushed the person so far to be able to justify, to make excuses for denying completely that he ever borrowed the money at all or that he owes a penny. As the Gemara over there in Baba Metzia explains, that Rav Nachman said that even the person who is in complete denial, he's not really in denial. He knows that he owes the money and he intends to, even intends possibly to pay it back. But you know why he's denying it? Because he's thinking, I've done business with this person for the past 20 years. And we're always borrowing and lending from each other. We're always giving and taking. Right now, he says, I owe him $1,000. But it's very possible that a year ago or 6 years ago, I lent him money and he never returned it. Because we've done so many transactions, there's been so much money going back and forth between us that it's very possible that even though right now he's coming, making a claim, showing that I borrowed this money from him, it's very possible that if we research, if we go back 10 years or 6 years, we're going to find that I lent him money or somehow he owes me money. And this gives him justification. This is one example that the Gemara gives of excuses that people make. If you deal with people, you will find many cases of people interacting with each other in business and real estate and other things, where somebody says, you know, this guy took me for this, and you go to the other guy and say, did you do this? What are you talking about? You know how many things, you know how much I did for that guy? I don't owe him a pay. He owes me. If we ever sat down to make an accounting, you'd see how much he owes me. But did you borrow the thousand? Even if I borrowed the thousand, I'm telling you, you don't know. You don't know how much I've given this person already. People are able to make all kinds of excuses and justifications, even to deny totally, even to be willing not to give back a penny of. The pasuk says in the Torah, ki hashoichad ye'aver einei chachomim, that money blinds even intelligent people, smart people. Now, somebody who the Torah calls him smart, when it comes to money, people are blinded. They don't see that clearly. They see things their way. It's very hard to be objective when it's money and it's my money that's involved. People find a thousand excuses not to give back, not to return, you know, money. Hainu kanal. So Rav Nosson Zal says, so we see from this what we, or the point we brought out before, shebe'emes, that in truth, gamhu lo yotza michlal ha'esparas kanal. This person who's saying, I don't owe him a penny, it's not because this person has cut his connection to Hashem totally, or he has lost his contact with Jewish pride totally. But rather, it's what the Gemara says. Because he thinks maybe he owes me money from the past, that's what's giving him the justification now not to pay back, not to return this $1,000. Ze bechinas hatoiv hakovush beyoser mikama vekama shonim. So here again, we're saying this person is saying maybe 10 years ago I did him a favor. Only because 10 years have gone by, it's been buried. It's buried by 10 years of all kinds of stuff, so we don't see it. Until this pride, this goodness, has become old, very, very old between them. He's thinking it goes back 10 years, it goes back 20 years, whatever it is. And because of the fact that the evil, the tumah, the forces of the sitrachra are covering up the good, the goodness of the Jewish people. This is what makes it possible for people to make such huge mistakes, to the point where a person can go ahead and deny completely, lie out and say, I don't owe him a penny, I don't owe you anything. Aval be'emes, but in truth, yesh boy gamkein hisparus proti. This person still has some of that hisparus, some of that, he still has an neshama, he still has some of that pride, that goodness in him, which if we make him swear, sometimes that's the line. There's a line that a person won't cross. The Gemara tells a story that when the Romans conquered the Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, they knew about the Holy Temple and they knew about the Holy of Holies, so even they were afraid a little to go inside, so they grabbed a Jew and they told him, you go inside and the first thing you take is yours, but everything else, you're going to bring it out for us. This Jew went inside, and what did he take? The menorah. L'kavod Hanukkah, this story is coming up. He took the menorah, the menorah that was made from solid gold, one piece of gold, something awesome. He took this, he came out and grabbed it, and starts putting it aside. Okay, this is for me, and now, well, let's go get stuff for you. The Romans looked at him and said, hey buddy, we just changed our mind. We just changed the deal. This one's ours. Go in and get something else for yourself. He looked at them, and he said, no. And they're looking at him. They have their swords out. They're going to cut him to pieces, to smithereens. He says, I said no. It's enough that I angered Hashem once to go in there. I ain't going to do it a second time. That not. And the Gemara uses this as an example that you see that every Jew has that place where they draw the line. During the time of the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, there are stories of people who were totally not religious, people who ate pork on Shabbos in Germany. And yet when the Nazis told him to kiss the cross or to stab another to do something, the Jew looked the Nazi in the face and said no. They said, no, we're going to bury you, or we're going to burn you. Burn me, no problem. Go ahead, go right ahead. That we see that every Jew has this neshama, he has this hisparus inside of him, he has a connection to Hashem, which sometimes gets covered up with all kinds of mud, or sometimes it gets cut, the rope gets cut, all the threads are cut, until he's hanging on by a tiny thread. But he is hanging on by that thread. And the tzaddikim are the ones who see that thread. They know the connection that every single person has to Hashem. And they're able to focus on that, to be able to connect with that, and to be able to use that as a means of bringing the person back, bringing a Jew back, or in certain cases, even non-Jews. As Rabbeinu Zal explains over there in Likut Imran, that all of this goodness that has been buried, that has been captured by the non-Jews, at the right time, that suddenly wakes itself up and it says, hey, I'm in the wrong place. I don't belong here. This is not my place. And it finds its way back to Klal Yisrael. Kimuvan biksovim, Rav Nosson Zal says, because we find in the Sifrei Kabbalah, shemilve yeshana, that this term that the Gemara uses, an old loan, an old transaction. The guy's saying, who knows, maybe years ago I gave him something. So he's taking me to court. He thinks I owe him. I don't owe him anything. Husoid bechinas nitzoitzois hakadoshim, shehim bechinas toiv hakovush hamegulgolim mikama vekama shonim. The Sifrei Kabbalah explained that this refers to holy sparks, goodness, that again has been captured by the Sitra Achra, by the other side, and has gone through reincarnations over many years, over generations. Shemiribui hora hachoif aleim, and as a result of the tons of bad that's covering up this good, boim hahakhoshois. That's what leads to this denial. There's a story recently, there's all the time, there was a story in the newspapers a few months ago that in Hungary, right now, the country Hungary, a place that was a center of thousands of shuls and Jewish communities and everything before World War II, that recently neo-Nazi parties are starting to gain momentum, are starting to get stronger, and the second most powerful political party among that group in Hungary was led by a person who was really using technology, using everything to build up their party, to gain momentum and strength, to start becoming a leading force in the government in Hungary. This is today. Now, in Hungary, when these guys want to insult each other, when one of these neo-Nazis or one of these anti-Semites wants to insult the other guy, what does he do? He calls him a Jew. That's the most insulting term he can. So one of the leaders of one of these other political parties started calling this person Jew. You're a Jew, and I'm going to prove it, he said. And the first time he said it, the guy looked at him like he was a marshal. You know, you're nuts in the Jew. I'm one of the most rabid anti-Jews. And in the newspaper, they quoted things that this guy has written, books, all kinds of stuff, you know, insulting the Jews through it. P.S., the way this person said it to him, you're a Jew and I'm going to prove it, the guy who was being told this went back and started doing research and found that a grandmother of his who lived during the time of World War II, she wouldn't, there was a certain thing that around the holiday of Hanukkah, I think, she would give gifts. She would give each one of the kids, each one of the grandmothers would get a gift at that time, a present or something. And he started researching, he cornered her, and he got her to show him a number on her arm. She had a number on her arm from World War II that she was really a Jew. And he did research, P.S., and this guy started pulling out of this political party. This is all written up. This was in the newspapers in Hamodia a few months ago. And he called up a Chabad rabbi and said he wanted to meet with him. And again, the Chabad rabbi heard that this guy, one of the strongest anti-Semites in Hungary today. Leader, second in command, deputy in command of this political party, wants to meet with him. He was terrified, met with him. This person ended up coming to, after great discussion, the Chabad rabbi told him to come to shul, knowing that could be people are going to see him, they'll spit in his face, or they'll want to kill him, you know. And this person is coming, he made a trip to Israel, went to the Kotel, all kinds of things. He's finding his way back to Judaism. But this is an example of how far this can go, to what extreme it can go, and yet there's something there. There's something there that when that button is pushed, this person, you know, person would say, like, why in the world would this person even think of looking back, of researching? But the answer is, this is what Rabbi Nizal is defining over there in Likut Imran. This toiv that's kovush, that's buried under layers and layers and layers of darkness, of hate and all kinds of things. And at the right moment, it's discovered, it's uncovered, and it finds its way back. V'al kein, and therefore, Rav Nachman, shehoyo shonim harbe achar achurban, Rav Nachman, who lived many years after the destruction of the second Beis Hamikdash, who daiko tikein shvuas heses. He's the one who instituted this oath, this rabbinical oath, even for the people who deny completely. Lohoyrois, to show shegam b'horechoykin b'yoyser, that even those people who are the furthest away, kemoy ha-koyfer b'koy, like a person who is in complete denial, even in them, it's possible to uncover and reveal that Jewish pride, that soul, that goodness. Rak al yedei shenis yashnu bahagolus shenisarech moed. It's only because of the fact that they've spent so much time in exile, years and years and years. Al yedei ze nisrachu kolkach. That's what allowed them to become so distant. And therefore there still is hope to remind this person, to awaken him, to bring him back to the truth, to get him to admit the truth by making him swear. By reminding him of this pride, this holy pride, this holiness, this goodness that's still found inside of him. Rav Nosson Zal is going to go on to explain in the next paragraph. But the Shvuah of Rav Nachman, you don't hold a Sefer Torah. So where does the pride come from? Rav Nosson Zal is going to explain that in the next paragraphs. We'll hold it over here for now.